Last week we decided to take a slight detour, not out of Hilchos Kashrus proper, but to try to almost like recap and a little bit of chazara in terms of some of the issues of Kashrus that have come up, but particularly how they relate to Pesach. And so try to develop a yesod about some of the differences between Hilchos Kashrus as it plays out for the rest of the year and some of the chumras, and we'll see as we go out even some of the kulas, as strange as that may sound, maybe don't share that with the other half of your family right now, but some of the chumras, some of the kulas that Hilchos Pesach has. So, of course, the biggest chumrah that we find in Hilchos Kashrus, where Hilchos Pesach and Chometz really breaks, in a sense, party lines, is the entire sugyas of Bittul Berov and Bittul Beshishim, all the different numbers that we're used to, in terms of which govern the rules of Bittul. And basically, in one fell swoop, the Gemara said in Maseches Pesachim, the second parak, that Hilchos Chometz Pesach Aser B'Mashehu. Now, we assume halacha, that's what the Gemara said, although there was a dissenting view in Rishon, that maybe that wasn't the final word in the Gemara, but that's where we assume halacha, that chometz bezach asur mashu. The reasons for that, we spoke a lot about last week, is that part of chumr de chometz, is that part of davashesh matir, and again, these are the concepts we're familiar with from the Hilchos Kashrus parts of the sugyas. But lemais, that's what it says, that's the din, that chometz bezach is asur b'mashu. There is a big machlokes in Rishonim, whether there is a corollary of that principle, also something that goes back to what we spoke a lot about, and that is the idea of nosin tam lefgam. So the Gemara says at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, commenting on the pasuk in Chumash, lo sochuchon nevela lager shem sharechet den avachali. Not allowed to eat nevela, but rather you can give it to the goyim. So ger here, of course, doesn't mean a ger, what we call a ger today. Ger tzach means a ger toshav. You're allowed to give it to a goyim. Lager sharechet den avachali. So one of the Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon, has the following observation. If the Torah is describing taking this nevela and giving it to the goyim to eat, that means it must be edible. You usually don't give something to somebody to eat if it's not edible. So obviously the Torah is referencing a kind of nevela that's still roi l'achila. If the nevela became so nifgam that it dipped beneath the point of being roi l'achila, so then all bets are off. Then it's no longer nevela, and min haTorah for sure it's mutter to eat, etc. That's what's the principle of nosin tam lefgam. We said already many times that with the Rabbanan there may still be a problem of Vinyan called Akshave, that you personally are treating it as Choshev, maybe that becomes a problem. That was the whole issue of the non-kosher medicines we spoke a lot about in the past. But on a level of the Araisa, whatever Akshave doesn't apply even with the Rabbanan, so the din is that Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter. And the corollary of that rule was, that's why we're so lenient when you have Bleas from pots and pans that were more than 24 hours, we basically ignore it. With the Evid we say, If I cooked food in a tray for pots, so with the oven after 24 hours, the food will be mutter. If I stirred a milchik ladle in a fleshy pot, if the ladle hadn't been used in 24 hours, everything's going to be mutter. Because basically, whatever is nosin tam lefgam, at least with the oven, is all going to be mutter. However, this is where Hilchos Chometz may part ways with other areas of halacha. Is that true when it comes to Chometz? Is there any reason to believe that this entire institution called Nosin Tam Lefgam falls by the wayside in terms of Hilchos Chometz? If that statement would be correct, what I just said, so that would have a tremendous nafka minas ladina for us in terms of the shear of 24 hours. A very, very real shaila, a person, by mistake, with a third day Chol HaMoed Pesach, and by mistake, they somehow take something out of the taped up cabinet. I guess they didn't put up enough signs that say, you know, Chometz, us, don't touch, nuclear explosion, you know, hazardous material, mochel and nachri, whatever, all the different signs that weren't there well enough. And the person opened up the cabinet and pulled out yanked out a milchik, a Chometz stick, a ladle, and started, stuck it into his kosher Pesach food. So now what happens? So our initial reaction is, what's the big deal? It's more than 24 hours anyway. I mean, it's Thursday Chol HaMoed, so we assume you probably haven't used that for hot chametz at last. We hope you haven't used it. If you did, then you have more serious problems in your kitchen. So for the last 24 hours, you haven't used this ladle, and therefore it's a nice time of gam. So we should say, good, so the evidence, okay. If it would have been a chazal ladle, we would have said that. If it would have been a bas v'chol ladle, we would have said that. So why shouldn't we say that with a chametz stick a ladle? So the answer is probably most of the shomim say you do say it. The taka nice time of gam is taka mutter, it's mutter mechametz as well. There's no reason to believe otherwise. So the Ran quotes one opinion in Rishon that disagrees. It says, no, that the whole heter of Nais and Tam Lefgam falls away by Chometz. Why is that exactly? Why is there no heter of Nais and Tam Lefgam by Chometz? No part of the Manishtan of Chometz from other Yisurim. So the Ran quotes some Rishon saying that the idea of Nais and Tam Lefgam is almost like a din of Bittul. It means basically the starting point is that Tam is Ke'ikar. Whenever that goes to Psukim, Sugyas and Maseches Noz, and other places, that whenever I have something which is a tam could be either, say, a little bit of food fell in, a little trafus fell in, I pulled it out, but now it gave off a little bit of tam. Tom can be emitted by a kli that has bleias inside it. I have Tom inside this mixture. So I have this chametz tikkalei. I stuck it into my kosher pesach pot of chicken soup. So a little bit of chametz presumably has come out into that chicken soup. So the question is that Tom something you have to reckon with or not? So the Torah gives us different ways to almost like ignore that Tom. So one way of ignoring the Tom is this bottle. So what's the shia bittel? Well, it's not there anymore. It's bottle b'shishim, whatever the magic number is. So if it's bottle b'shishim, that's one way of negating Tom. There's another way of negating Tom, of nois and Tom lefgam. That basically when you have a nois and Tom lefgam, so we say that Tom is always bottle, even though it may not have the quantity to be bottle, but since qualitatively it's not doing anything, forget it's actually hindering, it's hurting your food. So that kind of a Tom is bottle. So the nature of the din that Tom pogum is not a problem is basically rooted in bittel. It's a different kind of a bittel. It's not the bittel that we know of in terms of ratios of the numbers and 60s, etc. But it's basically rooted in Hilchus bittel. If that's the case, that's going to raise a red flag. Because the minute that we say that bittel doesn't apply to Pesach, the minute that we say that Chametz of Pesach is Asa B'mashahu, so just as bittel doesn't apply, then its cousin, Nosan Tam of Gam, is also not going to apply. So if you think that there's an ironclad connection between Nosan Tam of Gam and bittel, you're asking for trouble when it comes to the Pesach time. But maybe we're wrong. Maybe these two different not related to one another. Maybe Nosan Tam of Gam is not pshat that it's bottle. It's mutter. Nosan Tam of Gam is not a sheer bittel. Nosan Tam of Gam is, this is not Chazer Amor B'Torah. This is not Nevel Amor B'Torah. This is not Trefus Amor B'Torah. This is not a Dovra. It's not a Cheftz of Finisar. So if it's not a Cheftz of Isra, it's not that it's also, but it's Botel. It just doesn't, it's not called a Vela. In order to be a Vela, there are two conditions. It has to be an animal that died without Shechita, and it has to be something that's edible. And if it's not edible, then it's not the Isra Nevela. If you go down that route, so then there's no reason to believe that Chametz is any different than anything else. So if it's an Ozer Dam Nefgam, so all the Parashah Mechal Sassuris doesn't apply across the board, including the Isurim of Chametz. So those in fact 2 days in the Rav. That's a big, big question. So there were different opinions about this. But we're going to get to the Kelpa, where the dogs came in. Why the dogs made their appearance in the sugya. That's a whole other story. Why the Shia Pagam is even different. We'll get to that in a moment. So this is a general question. Is there a heter of Nosan Tam of Gam? So the original machlokes that we showed him was, let's say, I take a piece of chametz and I have it sit out in the sun for days and it's spoiled, it's rotten, it's mamish, smells terrible, it's gefrelich. It's a Nosan Tam of Gam. So the Chora, one could raise a question, is that subject to the rules of heter or not? So we're going to get back to Eo's question. We're going to circle back in a minute. But here the Mishnah talk about it in a much more common scenario. Here the Mishnah talk about it in a case where we're trying to invoke the heter of Nosan Tam of Gam in terms of Hukos Taroves. Should we say that whenever you have a Taroves that's a Nosan Tam of Gam, so it's Botel? If that's the case, that's not going to help us in Chomet. So this is not Botel. It's that it's not all. B'chiyagam, lo osra ter, tam ki ikar. So those are two opinions in the Ran, and these two opinions are quoted in the between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So the Ramah and the later poskim write that we don't have an absolute clear hachra on this. We generally assume that Mikra did it tzach of mutter, that Nosan Tam of Gam is really mutter, but there are many places that were machmer, and therefore the poskim kind of leave it up and say lefi minigam hakom, whatever yesh v'yesh. It's unclear exactly what the final outcome of the shalosh should be. I think that the minig of Rabbanim today, and Ashkenazi is lahachmer, I think that we would be machmer in this. We do get the shalosh every once in a while, talking, get a mix up. A person by mistake took out a chametz tikkapath and they cooked up food, so I would not be comfortable telling them to eat that food on Pesach. Even though it happened, the pot hadn't been used for 5 days already, but I think that there are enough concern that maybe those who shown them are the way we should follow, and therefore I think that the Pesach today, I think most Rabbanim follow this idea, that we would not permit food just be the Evan based on the 24 hours. However, here's an important however, is that the Medivah Mamurim, when is this Chumr true that we're going to Aser up with Kedeir Shedem and Yomo, when it comes to Pesach, that's only true if that mistake happened on Pesach proper. Because this whole Chumrah is a cousin of Chometz of Pesach Asa B'Mashu. So I think we mentioned at the end of the Shiur last week that when exactly does Chometz of Pesach Asa B'Mashu kick in? So according to the Rambam, it kicks in for the Shas Issa Chometz. It kicks in at now 2 hours before Chatzos. But according to the Rosh, the way we follow, most of the poskim assume the halacha, that it doesn't kick in until Chumr de Chometz kicks in, and Chumr de Chometz doesn't kick in until the nighttime, until there's an Issacharis. So we can get a little bit of a window. We have a few hour window that if you took your Chometz tikkapat and by mistake cooked your Pesach food in it, so if that happened during the day of Erev Pesach, we could look the other way. that even though it's after the Shas Nesir, but it's not yet this man of Pesach proper, so for that we would have a right to be Mekel, because at the end of the day, even the Machamir, it's no more Chomer than the Mashu. And if Mashu itself would Mekel on Erev Pesach, that would be okay. And then putting it to place, what we said last week, the Ramo writes, that once the Tarovus happened, Beheter, then we say Enochaz V'Neir, that basically it doesn't come back to life on Pesach proper. So B'di'evet, if you cooked your pot on, even 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, B'di'evet, the food's going to be mutter. Whether your wife is going to buy into that or not, I can't tell you, but in terms of Mikra Din, that would be the halacha. It's funny, we have these kinds of shilas, very rarely with the chametz pots. People start getting them with all kinds of, it's not chametz proper, sometimes there are mistakes. People, you know, they buy products and they really probably are kosher Pesach. Sometimes there are additives into things and the chashashas of chametz Pesach also be mashu, these kinds of things. So sometimes we'll tell people, don't buy these products, don't use them. Don't use them on Pesach proper. But whatever happened from before Pesach, so yesh macham lahakol. So we have a lot of these kinds of shilas that people get this a lot in kidneys. We have a lot of these kidneys kinds of shilas. As people use, they use the wrong oil, they use the wrong this, they use the wrong, they thought it was the kosher Pesach product. It turns out it was in the Sephardi aisle for kidney oil, so they used it, and that was before Pesach. So very often I'll say to them, listen, first of all, it's kidney oil altogether. You have to put everything into perspective, and it's probably both of the shishim anyway, everything happened from before Pesach, and showing so the before Pesach mode is a good thing to be aware of, that even certain chumers that we do have on Pesach, so before Pesach, we're going to be a little bit more makel. If a guy uses mamsh outright chumets, and he's cooking his, he's using breadcrumbs on his schnitzel before Pesach, that's going to be a problem even on Pesach proper. Okay, anyway, back to that story. So Eivet raised a very, very important question. It's really a part of the global question about pagam as it relates to chumets. So forget about tamkik, forget about pots and pans, that kind of stuff. A piece of chametz. Mamash, a pizza, a big, good piece of bread. And that chametz starts to turn bad, starts to turn sour, starts to turn rotten. At what point am I comfortable to say that it's reached the point of nosi tam lefgam, reached the point of nevel shel lager, and whatever I'll do with that piece of information. So if you would ask me, I would say that, well, the shear should be, whatever you think the shear is, whatever you think the din is, the shear should be identical to Kol Torah Kula, namely, Nifsa Be'achilas Adam. So once something dipped beneath the point of Nifsa Be'achilas Adam, l'chor, the game should be over. I have a piece of chametz that's about stealing, spoiled. So then, min haTorah, for sure, the cutoff point should be Nifsa Be'achilas Adam. Whether there's a chumah midrabban of chametz Be'achilas Mashu, we can discuss that. But midaraisa, Mehecha Teisa, there should be any other shear. And yeah, we're all familiar that that's not the shear the Chazal used. The Gemara, the third parak of Maseches Pesachim, speaks about Nifsa Mechilas Kelef. Everybody knows, whenever we evaluate anything, we'll look at a toothpaste and we want to know, is it Kosher Pesach or not? Is it Nifsa Mechilas Kelef? We're looking at Tylenol, the Nifsa Mechilas Kelef. Everything we look at, we're looking at the perfumes and the colognes and the soaps and the shampoo. Whatever you think has to be looked at, the paper plate, whatever you think has to be looked at, I'm not saying what does or doesn't, but we always hear those words out of the mouth of the rabbi. Is it Nifsa Mechilas Kelef or not? Where did the dogs come from? Lo yachavetz kel b'shono, they got a tremendous chus for Pesach. But so where did the dogs come from exactly? Why did that shear radically change from Nifsa Mechilas Adam to Nifsa Mechilas Kelef? So there is a big machlekes in Rishon and what the answer to that question is. So the Ran quotes the possibility that the emes lamito is, the shear is really, really, truly Nifsa Mechilas Adam. The shear on Pesach is actually identical to anything else. So if I take a slice of pizza and I put it outside the sun, it sits there for a few days and it starts to be to the point of a human being wouldn't eat it. A dog would eat it, but a human being wouldn't eat it. So the Ran says that it's really mutter. That is the shear of Roy Lachila, no different than Nevela. So where did that magic phrase, Nifsa Mechilas Kelef, come from? So the Ran says, if you look carefully, the context of that original discussion, Nifsa Mechilas Kelef, was actually talking about Seor. It was talking about something a little bit different than Chometz proper. So we know the Torah speaks about Chometz and Seor, and we've kind of, blurred the differences between them a little bit, but there are very, very real differences. Lamaisa, there are no differences. That's why we've kind of forgotten them. But in terms of definition, what they are is very different. Chometz is a mixture of flour and water that has already reached that point of chimutz. So it's already leavened, it's already risen, whatever you want to call it. It's already sitting long enough that it's developing these cracks and whatever the signs of chimutz are. That is the definition of chametz proper. How do you know that something has reached that point of chibutz, the point of no return? So that's the sugya, the third parak of Maseches Pesachim. Everybody agrees that when this dough, this mixture of flour and water, starts to develop cracks, that's already that's a bad sign, because the cracks are a sign of the fact that the bacteria, whatever is inside, is so I'm going to say something that's going to sound not so scientific, but the bacteria is exploding, which is part of the chibutz process. So it's expanding. It's causing the dough to begin to blow up, to expand, and you start to see the cracks. Like when something breaks, so it starts to crack. It's not like it's like too much pressure on it. So whether that was exactly right physically, I can't tell you, but that's kind of what's going on. So everyone agrees that the way to tell when something is beginning to chibutz, you look at it, you look at the dough. So the Gemara has a machlekes atanayim as to where exactly the world of the laboratory slash base medrash. So where exactly do you know that you've reached the point of no return? So the Gemara has a whole sugya in the third parak of Pesachim that there are actually two different stages. There's what we call chametz nuksha, and there's what we call chametz gomor. Chametz doesn't happen like in a split second. It doesn't go from being something that's totally kosher for matzah to all of a sudden becoming chametz gomor and sukkaris. It's a little bit of a gradual procedure. And first it goes to this middle ground called chametz nuksha, where it's getting there. If you would stop it right then and there, if you would bake it up right then and there, we would say that it's not quite chametz. On the other hand, it's not quite mutar to eat. That's called chametz nuksha. So that's a big machlekes atanoim. Is that an isidir isidir? Is that isidir abonis? Is that by rabbi matzah? That's a whole complicated sugya in the third pek of Pesachim. And then, if you wouldn't pick it up right away, if you let it sit for a little bit longer, then eventually it's going to reach the point of being chametz or gomer. So the Mishnah quotes the Chagis Tatanoim, I take a little look at a dough. So someone hands me a dough, and I want to know, is it still eligible to be baked as matzah? Is it already reached that twilight zone of chametz nuksha? Or is it already the point of chametz gomer? So I'm looking. It says, what am I looking for? So the Mishnah says, you're looking for cracks. How many cracks? Different opinions. 2 cracks, 100 cracks, 4 cracks. You also look at the color of the dough. So apparently when the dough starts, the chibutz process starts to get a little pale, or a little lighter or something. So that's also, again, you figure you could check online about the role of the bacteria in changing the color of the dough. But that's also one of the signs. So if you know what you're looking for, so then you can identify whether something is, which stage of chibutz process it is. Is it still in the kosher pesach stage? Has it entered that twilight zone of chametz nuksha, which is maybe a disalav, maybe malchus, maybe derabanan, maybe bayra, maybe not? Or is it chametz gomer shechayva torah karas aleha? So that's what the Gemara says, that technically you could actually buy a dough from somebody who's not very responsible and not very reliable, and if you know what you're looking for, you could use it. That's called b'tzeikah shal nachrim. The Gemara says, technically speaking, you can go to a goy on Pesach and ask him for his dough. Means he mixed the flour and the water. And you can ask him for that dough, and you can take a look at it, look up the sun, there's no sign of chimus whatsoever. So technically, you can use that. The only thing is, the Gemara says, that you can't use that for the first Kesayis Matzah. But Seiko Shel Nochri, Adam Malik Kresim, Yom Vachio, Kesayis Matzah Becharina. That you can use it, it's not a chomet problem, it's just that it wasn't made Lishma, wasn't needed Lishma, wasn't presented Lishma. So then that's going to be a problem for the first night of Pesach. That's the simple Pshat in that Gemara. The Rambam has a very, very different way of reading that Gemara, but the simple Pshat like Rashi, that there's no chibutz problem because I know exactly what I'm looking for. But not everybody is so fine-tuned as to take a look at a dough, going to your next-door neighbor and the guys can give you a dough and look at it, hold it up in the sun, that looks okay to me. I can't see that our wives would approve of that kind of an approach on Pesach. So Gemara tells us that when you're baking, you don't really know exactly what you're looking for. So Gemara gives you a little bit of a window of safety. Gemara says that if you take flour, you take water, and you start to mix it together, it's going to take some time for this to turn into chametz. So the Gemara says, until a meal has passed, the amount of time a meal has passed, you don't have to worry about it. Nothing happened. It's nish chametz gomer, nish chametz nuksha. As long as it's less than a meal of time has passed since the flour touched the water, then there's nothing to worry about. How long is a meal? A meal is a distance. A meal is the amount of time it takes a person. It's a distance of 2,000 amos. So we should have a short trip, and we'll try to take a walk and see how long does it take to walk 2,000 amas. So first you have to decide what an ama is. So when you decide, if you think an ama is anywhere from 18 inches to 24 inches, your numbers are going to be very, very different. So you have many, many different opinions across the spectrum in the Rishonim, exactly how long this magic number of mil is. And again, the mil, we're not saying that once it reaches a mil, it's absolute chametz gomer and yechayv kar. We're just saying that at mil, you already have concern. I mean, it's no longer safe after the point of a mil. So the biggest chumrah in Hukkah's meal is 18 minutes. So that has become our practice. So that's what the standard practice, of course, of today is. When you bake matzahs, they have to be from the minute that the flour touches the water, so everything's got to be fully baked. Once it's baked, it can't be chametz anymore. that, I mean, again, unless you think that things after they're baked are not really baked, that's the minig of gebrachos, was that chashash, that maybe it's a possibility, a remote possibility, maybe not every part of the dough was baked properly. But if you would know that every part of the dough was baked properly, that was the, again, that's a, those who don't accept gebrachos say, we do know, we put the flour and the water into the oven, put it into the oven, and sure, it comes out, we'll say it's baked. So those who are not chashash for gebrachos will tell you that that's the din l'maisa. Those who are chashash will tell you that, of course, me'ikra din is mutar. Everybody agrees, even those who are machmer gebrachos agree that, of course, me'ikra din is mutar. It's a chumr, it's a hirus, it's a hinder. But again, when Kol's, this is all true, that there's nothing to worry about, Kol's about less than 18 minutes. Once you reach the point of 18 minutes, so then if you didn't get into the oven by 18 minutes, fully baked by 18 minutes, then there's already reason for concern. So that's kind of the background in terms of, that's the definition of chametz. So what does that do with Sa'or? What exactly is Sa'or? Sa'or is something totally different. Sa'or is something that until about 3 years ago, nobody even knew what it was in our communities. It's what they call sourdough. It's what all the girls, all the teenage girls are running around having sourdough events for shuls or something. So that's what sa'or is. Sa'or is you take flour and water and you sit it together and it sits there for a long, long time and it sits 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 and eventually it can become so mechumas, whatever that means, that it can now go ahead and can trigger other like a fusion explosion. You know, it can cause other things to become chametz, and you throw that into a dough, and it makes a whole new flavoring, and a whole new texture, and a whole new something or other, and it creates these sourdough challahs that they sell for $45. So that's basically what sa'or is. So sa'or is something that, in the olden days, and still today, you keep around for a long, long time. A sa'or is kishma kenu, it's sour. It means I never tasted the sourdough itself, but it's sitting for a long, long time. That's what it's supposed to do. And again, it's a whole umness to it. I don't understand it. My daughter has tried to explain it many times. You feed it, right? Am I correct? Everyone know what you do with it? What do you do? You add more flour to it or something? What do you do to it? It's a starter, and it goes for years, for decades, for generations. There are some very fancy bakeries, I think, that have sourdoughs with yichus, because I have yichus from England, from the colonial days. So it's a very, very strange concept. But that was the way they actually used to make bread in the old days. That was the way that was before yeast. They didn't have that idea. No one figured out that if you just get, it's not the sourdough, it's the yeast that does it. So if you just buy a little Fleischmann's yeast and do the same thing. But that's how they used to make dough. So they would make their chametz. So sa'or has pros and cons to it. Sa'or, on the one hand, is unbelievably chametz dip, because not only is it it's called yesh lo chametz acherim. It has the koach to be mechameas ha'itz to ruin. The sa'or shem isa, it has the ability to ruin it for everything else. So that's like super duper duper chametz. And the other hand, the Gemara Beitza says, it tastes miserable. So it tastes very good. So on the one hand, it's more osur because it has the ability to l'chametz acherim. On the other hand, it's less of a problem because it tastes so bad. That's exactly what the Gemara says, beginning with Sechaz Beitza. That's why the Torah has to say chametz and or. Because if the Torah would have just said chametz is osur, I would have thought, chametz is osur because it tastes delicious. Or is not osur because it tastes miserable. But b'idakis, if the Torah would have just said tzor, we say tzor is also because it's chametz acherim. Whereas chametz, if you take a slice of pizza and throw it into a dough, nothing's going to happen to it. So each one has a tzor b'kalakan. So the bottom line is kol chamira v'chamia de'ika b'shusi. So kicho chametz and tzor, all the leaven and all the tzor, whatever you want to call it, it's all also. So it's all also. It is a deraisa. So tzor has that very, very unique ability l'chametz acherim. And even though it's not it's not so edible. So comes the Ran, and he says in the third Bet Maseches Pesachim as follows. You want to know why the shear of chametz is slightly less than anything else? You know why it has to dip down to the point of kelev in order to become mutar? Because it always has that koach of the chametz acherim. So even though it's not quite Roy Lachila, but it's not right, quite Roy Lachila's Adam, but it still has that ability, has the characteristic of that trait of being able to chametz acherim, and therefore it's still osur, even though it's dipped beneath the point of Kedei Achila's Adam. Which leads one to believe that according to the Ran, wait a second, we totally misunderstood the entire Shia of Nifsa Mechilas Kalev. We blew it. There is no Shia of Nifsa Mechilas Kalev Nifsa Chametz. Of course, the Shia is Nifsa Mechilas Adam, like all the other areas. The only kind of Isser on Pesach that's subject to Nifsa Mechilas Kalev are only things that can be Mechametz Acherim, things that can cause other things to become Chametz. So let's say, for example, I have a tube of toothpaste, and I'm trying to figure out, is this toothpaste chametz? Let's even aniach, worst case scenario, it has chametz ingredients in it, which probably doesn't. Let's say worst comes to worst, it has chametz ingredients in it. So I'm sitting down and trying to figure out, oh, is this a problem Pesach or not a problem Pesach? So everybody knows, is it nifsa mechilas kelos? So you bring in all the dogs, and the dogs eating a little Colgate, a little Crest, try to figure out, is it chametz or not? You're doing the wrong test. That's not the test you should be asked. What do you do? Try to give the dogs a stomachache. Get your own, you should try it. What do you mean? But everybody knows, nifsa mechilas kelos. No, says the Ran. Nifsa mechilas kelos means when you're dealing with something which is efshel l'chametz acherim. Go take toothpaste and put it into your, instead of sourdough, try it and put it into your dough and see what happens. Okay, I guarantee you nothing's going to happen. So take your shampoo and your deodorant and put it into your dough and see what happens from it. So these things are not, they're not l'chametz acherim, they're not the kof chametz acherim. So according to the Rav, the shear is nifso b'achilos adam. So the shear, we've been using the wrong term. The whole term is wrong. That's what the Rav says. But many of you should have screwed the Rav. So I'm not making fun of the nechilos problem. It's like a of the nifsa miachilas kelav shir. The nifsa miachilas kelav shir comes from the other Rishonim. Other Rishonim say no. That's not the shir. That nifsa miachilas, the reason why nifsa miachilas kelav is near is for a totally different reason. So there's Raivin and Reb Chaim Moizer elaborates. But basically, Reb Chaim Moizer elaborating upon other Rishonim explains the Yisod is very, very simple. That if you look carefully in the Gemara. You mind the third parak of Sachem, when it talks about the shear of nifsa mechilas kelav, is not talking about eating the chametz. It's talking about tzorach levaro, ain't tzorach levaro. Am I allowed to leave this item in my house or not? That's the topic of the Gemara. So comes a group of Rishonim, and Chaim Moizer again elaborates, as Rishonim explains as follows. When we're passing the shayel of huchas achila, so the answer is, yeah, is it nifsa mechilas adam? That's the only thing that matters. So when you pass in a shah, nuchas nevelas, nuchas trepas, nuchas chazer, so just ask the question, is it nifsa mechilas adam? And guess what? When you pass in a shah, nuchas chometz, vis-a-vis achilas chometz, that's the same answer. Is it nifsa mechilas adam? Of course the Rav is right in terms of that. So we're in the world of the shia, one of the dogs make a grand appearance in the sugya. Says Reb Chaim Moizer, for a different reason, legamre. Isn't it so by Rabbi Motze? You're not allowed to have chometz in your rishus finish, gemaru. Kol zman that it's called chametz, you're not allowed to have it in your rishus. When is it called chametz? Says Reb Chaim Moizer, it's still called chametz, even though it's dipped beneath the point of nifsal me'achilas adam. If you want to say the lomdash, a fancy twist, it's a chetz of chametz. There's no iser achim on the gavra because the Torah defines that the iser achim achilas asurus is defined by something that's roi lekach me'achilas adam. But the chetz is still a chetz of chametz. So it's still a chavetz of chametz, even though it's dipped beneath the point of nifsal me'achilas adam. So says Reb Chaim Moizer, min deraisa, if you eat that food in that window between the dogs and the people, so you're not chayv karis, you're not on the lav in the Torah. You know what the lav is? You know what the Gemara is talking about? Tzorach levav, the Gemara says, pasha ifsha, that's the sugya, the third breakup sacha. Pasha ifsha, you have a piece of bread that's spoiled. Pasha ifsha, so kol zman that it's roi l'achilas kelev, tzorach levaro. That's what the Gemara says. So says Reb Chaim Moizer, that's what the Gemara says, that's what the Gemara means. That you have to get rid of it because it's, if you would eat it, you wouldn't be over anything. But l'maisa, it's still called the Cheftz of Chometz. So why is it, at what point does it lose its shame, Cheftz of Chometz? When does it lose that shear? What's the cutoff point with the only Cheftz of Chometz? Says Reb Chaim Moizer, the answer is very simple. It can only be Chometz if it's food. One of the prerequisites of being Chometz, it has to first be food. Once something is food, then we can begin to discuss, oh, by the way, is it Chometz thick of food or not? This shtender is not chametz. This table is not chametz. These are not food. In order to be chametz, it has to first be a food item. At what point do we say that food has rotted so badly that it's no longer food? It's junk. It's a piece of garbage now. It's not food. So the answer is very, very simple. You have to look at other areas of halacha that don't get confused by dim and the gavra. That's where the problem started. We got too mixed up with the gavra ha'oichel. We have to work on the ochel, not the ochel, for the Balkaris. That the emphasis here is Parshas Tzav, right? I think Avram Zev had to be reminded about this once or twice before his bar mitzvah. There's the ochel chaylev, and then there's the ochel b'kesef shmeni, and the ochel. So, at what area of Allah is a good place to look to see whether there's a chefza of food or not? Don't get confused with gavras. No one's eating anything. I want to know, is it food? The answer is, I got a great place. Tumas Eichlin. That's the best place to look. Tumas Eichlin. If something is makabel tuma, it's tumas ochlin, so it has to be an ochel. So a table is not makabel tuma. So it has to be ochel, it's got to be food. So what if I have a piece of food that's really, really bad? At what point does it lose that shear of being ochel? So guess what? The shear is, nifsa mechilas kalaf. That's the shear in the chefza. That once it's so bad that a dog wouldn't eat anymore, even a dog wouldn't touch this anymore. So that's already so mufkas on the shame, ochel from it, it's not makabel tumah. So guess what, says Reb Chaim Moshe? It's like a classic example. Just open up, he says, open up your eyes and read the Gemara. The third part of Sukkah. The Gemara quotes a Braisa that says, if you have food that you have a pasha of shur, you have bread that's spoiled. So the Braisa says, kolzman that hasn't dipped beneath the point of nifso meachilas kelev, you have to get rid of it on Pesach. And kolzman that hasn't dipped to that point is bakabatumas ochlim. The Braisa says the two did it in the same breath. It quotes the two dim in the same brisa. Why? I'm learning Pesach. What are you telling me about Taurus? Yeah, it's the same din. It's the same exact din that the brisa is just the Tanaim. We're just simply trying to highlight this idea that kedech that was the fourth time that nifso meachilas. I don't know what that is exactly, but nifso meachilas kelev is a shear not in the gavra. It's a shear in the chefza, and that impacts by rovei motzi. That impacts to mesoichlim. So according to the Ishtikul Torah, right, if my Shalom say like that, then we're back in business. I want to pass my toothpaste, Shaila. I don't want to know about just using the toothpaste. For the rabbi to tell me I can use the toothpaste, it's fine. As long as I wouldn't eat the toothpaste, you can use the toothpaste. I want to know, can I keep the toothpaste? Am I a Bayerov and Motzei problem? So that's not enough to say that's not Roy Lachios other, but that's got to dip beneath the point of Nifsa Mechilis. So this Ishtikul Torah, is a fascinating, it's really almost befavorish in the Lashna Gemara. But it's taking a stand on a tremendous, tremendous question, a very controversial stand on something that we spoke a little bit about last week, and that is the relationship between Bayrove Motzei and Achila. Well, this Tibbut Torah just assumed you could have an item sitting on the table that if you eat it, it's okay on Pesach. Basically, mid the rice, if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, can you eat the food that's rotten enough that people don't eat? The answer is yes. Mid the rice, you're allowed to eat it, and you still have a Bayrove Motzei on it. Does that sound strange? Depends what you think the relationship between Bayrove Motzei and Achila is. So the Ran himself, back way, way back, and the Aleph and Aleph, before even the base, and the Aleph and Dapia Rif, why, this is one of the deep dark secrets of the printers of Talmud Bavli, why in the world they started the Gemara on the base and they started the Rif on the Aleph. So people have all these grandiose reasons, and you know, lumdish reasons, why to say, you never really start learning, you never really end learning, you know, nonsense. Why they start on the base? Went away. Title page was Aleph. So the first page of the printer. Why did I tell you that? I'm the printer of this thing. Me, the Sancito from Rome, was the vintage. So that was always Daf Aleph. And then the base was starting to work. When it came to the Rif, they already told me what the title page was. So why should they start the page for? So they started Daf Aleph. So 99% of decisions that have been made and have become written in stone for all of Klai Yisrael, every Ben Torah from across the board, from the most Haredi to the most modern, to anyone who ever opened the Gemara, 99% of the decisions as to how you look and what the page looks like were made by a bunch of Goyim in Italy back in the 1500s. Everybody knows that. It was the Bombergs and Sancinos and all the people who already set the original first typeset for Talmud Bavli. The other ones who made the grandiose decision that it makes sense that the Gemara should be in the middle and Rashi should be on the inner part and Tosafot should be in the outer part. The other ones who decided that there are four lines of Rashi on top, four lines of Tosafot on top. The entire basic Tosafot Daf was decided by a bunch of very, very nice non-Jewish printers in the Middle Ages. So that's in case anyone's interested about the Kurdish Kadoshim of the Tosafot Daf. Anyway, so we like Tosafot Daf. I like Tosafot Daf because once you shot the tape with Tosafot Daf, it took me many, many years until I could get used to the Frankel Rambams. Now I can't get used to the regular Rambams, but it took a while for me to get into the Frankel Rambams because they changed the Tosafot Daf a little bit. Anyway, so back to our Nechta story. So the Ran and the Aleph and Aleph in Maseches Pesachim tells us, he asked the question that we spoke about last week, Tosafot's question, why did Chazal throw these chumras and chumras of all our bosa breaking us the chumets, got to get on your hands and knees, under the table, under the bed, look for chumets. If you move into a non-Jew's apartment in the middle of the winter, you don't do a bedikas bosa v'chalav. You don't do a bedikas chelav adam. You look for a chaser and a veil seal. There's no such din. Why? So Tosafot said, because Gezer Hashem Abiyachla only applies to chametz, not to other Isurim, because chametz is so chomer and so chomer, lo bedilim inay and kore, all the psychological halachic reasons that we spoke about Berichos last week. So the Ran adds to that Tosafot. The Ran says, and by the way, because chametz is so chomer and there's such a concern of Shem Abiyachla, that's probably why the Torah said by Rav Motzi, by the way, says the Ran. That, if you want to know what the heart and soul of by Rav Motzi is what we call a good old siyag d'araisa. It's one of those fences and safeguard, Ezu siyag shas the Torah l'tvareha, that there are a whole list. If you're interested in the exhaustive list, Rabbi Yosef Engel puts together about 20 of them. Ezus Yag Shasar Torah. Those who are still learning Maseches Nazir. Those who still have any idea what's going on the end of Maseches Nazir. So one of the Siyag of Hamur B'Torah, according to some, is eating raisin bread. Why can't the Nazir eat raisin bread? I understand he's a Kodosh, he's a Ish Kodosh. He has to grow his hair, and he's got to keep him Tamar Mason. He can't stay away from. He's got to stay away from wine. I got the wine part. But what's wrong with raisin bread? So some Rishonim say that it's like a siyag deraisa. So stay away from grapes. So if you eat raisin bread, next thing you know, you're gonna eat. You're gonna drink wine. So it's a siyag deraisa, according to some. So the Ram says Baal Ramatz is a siyag deraisa. If that's the case, then the corollary of that approach would be that, well, if there's no issue deraisa of eating it, so then how can it be a siyag? How can it be Baal Ramatz? That model of Bayrabe Motze without Eris Rachila is absurd in the world of the Ran, which is exactly why the Ran didn't say this Pshat. That's exactly why the Ran didn't say Reb Chaim Edelstein. That's why he learned the different Pshat, that Taka, the cutoff point really truly is Nifsa Mechilas Adam. And the only reason the Gemara says Kelev is because of the S'or Shem Isa. So the bottom line is that, yes, we are familiar with the Shir of Kol Tar Kula being Nifsa Mechilas Adam. And yes, we have these magic words of Nifsom, okay, right? This is Nifsom Yachilas Kelev in the Sugya of Chametz. Why they part ways? According to the Ran, they part ways because of the sourdough story. According to other Rishonim, they part ways because not because of the Chilas Shabo, but because of the Bayra Shabo. But if you go down that route, then you've just separated between Bayra and Achila, which the Ran proper would not be so excited to do. So that was one part of our Sugya. I thought that was, it was a little digression for me. I wanted to get to a different part also today, but I'll have to save that maybe for next week. Hopefully next week we'll try to put together the final touches of the Chometz versus the other Yisurim, because Imlo Achshavim is not next week, so never mind. Okay. I think next week's Shia will hopefully be a Shia, but without the donuts, if I'm not mistaken, unless Ron can get us some kosher based on donuts. For hopefully by that point, the Shul will be clear. Good shot. Macaroons. You always bring macaroons.